it, we can say cheers to that, huh? We're saying cheers today to military veterans. It's Veterans Day. Remembrance Day is what they call it in Canada. Doesn't matter what you call it. It is a day of gratitude to you. The Tomb of the Unknown Soldier was dedicated on this day in 1921. So I play for you The Doors. Oh, God. So they wrote on his hand a letter out
Okay, all right. Okay, on my way out. Yeah, please move.
Thank you.
Trying to get out of this lot. Oh, come on, guys. Okay, dude. I don't know what all that was about. I can't even describe what was going on. Oh, he was back into his own. Well, that's what happens. You park on a... Just get in here. Oh, my God. Oh, God. Let's start over. I'm back. All right, new show. That was difficult. That was difficult. I was trying to drive onto a busy street out of a parking lot, and this dude was just swerving his way in from the opposite direction, and I'm sure breaking a few traffic laws. And I had to back up to let him in so that he didn't kill the people behind him, and then. As I was trying to get out of there all flustered and whatnot, I went over a curb. So, this is not my day. Oh my God. It's, and the day that it's not is, well, okay, the day that it is, it's Friday, November 11th, 2022, at 5 p.m., I'm heading over to pick up my mom to bring her to into town. She doesn't like driving after dark, which I said, that's fine. I can come pick you up. I don't mind that a bit. So I'm going to go pick her up, bring her into town, and we're going to see my daughter's play. She is in the ensemble for Little Women. She plays... I'm not sure entirely what character she plays, but... I guess we're going to find out. I think she plays, various townspeople or something, Oh, and, oh, God. I'm just freaking... All right. That did wonders for my state of anxiety, let me tell you what. I'm like, this is a good time to start the show. Yeah. Oh, kid delivered. All right. Wait, I thought that happened back in 2005. She was born. No. That's my wife. She said that she dropped off Jackie at the school. So, anywho. So, yeah. So, we're going to see the play tonight. And then tomorrow, Jackie has a speech tournament at one of the other high schools. And then tomorrow evening, my wife and I got to go back to the school and, Jackie's got another performance, but for that one, instead of getting to see it, I don't think we're gonna get to see it the second time. But we're gonna have to help run concessions. They put out a call a few weeks ago, we need parents to help out. All you parents need to help out. What? Well, I didn't audition for a damn thing. What are you? So it's like, okay, fine, whatever. So that's what we are doing. So we're going to. Yeah, I think I'm going to hit old 66. Might be a little better. 55 sometimes gets backed up, and I cannot risk getting stuck behind, you know, vehicles and whatnot. Farm vehicles shouldn't be out by this point. It's almost dark. We went back to standard time this past weekend,
so.
Anyway, my throat is like, oh, you know. So, sorry. I don't know what I'm trying to say. I really don't. But it's all right. I mean, how could I know what I was trying to say? I can't. That's how. Whoa. All right, move it. Person. Peoples. No, you can't go. Okay, fine. I'll slow down. Get out of here. What is that? Oh, it's not good. Oh, my gosh. I run into stuff. Run into people. It's not good. I'm telling you. Okay. Now. So, things. What's going on? What's going on in the life of the constant shamble, man? So, at work, we've been doing this. They've been reviewing our procedures and trying to find where we could, kind of streamline things and maybe find steps that we can avoid in our process. And you know what? I have been over it and over it, and all these steps are essential. I was trying to tell, you know, it's like, we need this piece, we need all these pieces. Well, then, and so, like, a few days ago, the higher-ups were like, because we had to, like, submit, like, a list of all our procedures, like, our manual that I wrote up a while back, and so they did a flow chart based on it. Of, you know, this, you know, like, step one, move to step two, move to step three, you know, if this, then go to step 4A, if this, then go to step 4B, you know, it's a big, like, freaking, you know, a process map is what they call it. It's a process map. Okay, fine. So they wanted us to my team, to get together and write up how long each step takes, like minimum and maximum, you know, like the minimum amount of time it could take, the maximum amount of time it could take, which it varies. It's very, you know, you can't necessarily. So we took each task that we do, and we said, well, this one, you know, for each individual thing, you know, each individual, case in this task takes, you know, 5 to 7 minutes. This one could take maybe 3 to 5 minutes. You know, and we broke it out like that. So they came back and said, well, you know, thanks for sending this. We were really hoping you could give us, like, how much time each step takes. And some of those tasks have, like, 8 or 9 steps. I'm like, oh, seriously? And I said to the rest of my team, I'm like, I got this. So I went through, based on their little flow chart, which I printed it up so I could have an easily accessible copy, and the text was way too small to read when I printed this up, so I had to, like, go, you know, back and forth to different screens anyway, so, like, whatever. And so I responded based on that, and for each process, I listed, like, step one, step two, step three, blah, 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 like that. And I've got step one, 0 to 1 minute. Step two, 0 to 1 minute. Step three, 0 to 1 minute. I think I had one step, maybe two, that were, like, 1 to 2 minutes. Most everything, it's like, well, this could be very fast. It depends on how the system's running that day, but this could upload very quickly, or it could take a while. You're trying to do the text recognition, sometimes takes longer than others. If, you know, if the PDF has a lot of photographs in it and stuff, and, you know, images and whatever. And so got down to it, and I ended up sending the result was just like, you know, step one, 0 to 1 minute. Step two, 0 to 1 minute. Step three, I'm like, do you get the idea? This, you know, this did not really help you much at all. This is not very, this is not, this serves no constructive purpose to say each step takes 0 to 1 minute, you know? So, I know, and I sent that around 11:30, noon, and I never heard anything back. So, I'm like, all right, I'm just going to assume that that it was fine. I'm going to guess it was all right, but, like, I don't know what you guys want, you know? I'm like, are they going to ask us to break it out further, you know? Like, are we going to have to go by seconds? You know, this could be, like, 10 to 45 seconds. I mean, what are we going to do here? So, that happened. So, yeah. Did a process map. That was exciting times. I don't know. I really don't. Last night, I was up later than I should have been. I started looking through to see if I could find some stuff that I wanted to add to the new Bumper Chain Cosmic episode, which I'm planning to release tonight. And I'll probably also release this tonight, so I might as well just release. I can release two things. Two of those. So, but I was up later than I planned. Like, I was up after 1 o'clock. I was up past 1 o'clock, and I was a wild party animal, you know? I'm like, it's like 10 after 1. I need to get some sleep. And so I think I ended up getting about 5 hours sleep by the end of it. And, you know, I was like, all right, time to get up. You know? But I was just listening to things and going, well, that'd be pretty good. Let's maybe hold that back for the next one. And, you know, so... you know, I've got plenty of material coming, I think. So get ready for that. And so hopefully I won't fall asleep during the play tonight. Oh my God, if I do, that's not going to be a good thing. I've been known to almost fall asleep during a half-hour orchestra concert. So I used to have a big problem staying awake during work meetings. Now that they're pretty much all, like, over Zoom, or we now have Teams, you know, like, Microsoft Teams, that doesn't really happen because I'm at my desk, and, like, while I'm listening to the meeting, I'm also, like, looking at other stuff, you know, like, I'm surfing the net and whatnot, and, you know... Stuff like that. You didn't hear that. I didn't tell you that. I did not tell you that that was the case. So earlier in the week, for some reason, I watched the first two episodes of the 80s TV series Gimme a Break. I'm not sure why. I think I was... There's all kinds of stuff on Tubi. On the Roku there, you know, it's like a free streaming service. If you have Roku, you can get it for free. Tubi. T-U-B-I. Tubi or not Tubi. And there are a bunch of, like, old series on there, you know, stuff you can, for, like, nostalgia purposes and whatnot, and which is the primary reason I check that stuff out, because I'm like... Yeah, these shows, some of these were really not that good. Some of them, you look back and you go, oh, that was better than I remember, you know? Like, some of it's like, oh, I didn't really understand some of that, the humor at the time when I was a little kid, you know? I was under 10 when some of these shows were on. Well, some of the shows that are on there, like, I wasn't even born yet. But I remember seeing a lot of Gimme a Break, and Different Strokes, and Facts of Life, and what else do we watch a lot of? Three's Company, you know, stuff like that. You know, those series that were new or fairly new at that time.
the Jeffersons. I think they had Jeffersons on Amazon Prime for free. Several months ago, I watched like the first season of it. Like, this wasn't bad. You know, I still like the Jeffersons. I still like the Norman Lear shows, you know, like All in the Family and Jeffersons and what else? Sanford and Son. That's a pretty good one. You know, those, some of that stuff, it, I don't know if I'd say it holds up, but it holds up to its time, you know, like you watch it and go like, you know, I can recognize that was like cutting edge at its time. You know, for the way that TV had been, and like up until then, it had all been like Father Knows Best, and you know, all those kind of shows, Brady Bunch, and everything was all wholesome and perfect and stuff. And then, and then All in the Family comes out, and like, oh shit, Archie's flushed the toilet, the turlet, I should say. Oh no, there's a draft dodger over for Thanksgiving dinner. And Archie's best friend, who was in World War II, is also here. What are we gonna do? And like they, you know, those two like make up, and the guy's like, you know, the army guy is like, you know, like, my son died, and I wish that I could have him here for dinner, and you know, I could see him and I just shake his hand, and Archie's like, wait a minute, I gotta figure this out. I can't, you know, like, you know what? Settle down, Archie. Settle down. You know? It's like, you get out of my chair, meathead. Yeah, jeez. Okay, anyway. But anyway, so, yeah, so there were some good shows. And then I watched the first two episodes of Give Me a Break the other night. And it gives me a lot of nostalgic buzz. Like, oh yeah, I remember that. And like, oh yeah, and there's the scene where Nell's running the vacuum cleaner, and she accidentally you know, puts the end of the vacuum cleaner into the aquarium, and you know, sucks up the goldfish, which was like Gertrude the goldfish, I think, something like that. I know Arnold on Different Strokes had a fish named Abraham. But yeah, I think theirs was Gertrude. And the basic idea behind Give Me a Break was, it was the early 80s. It was like 1981, I think, is when it started. And you got Nell Carter, and she played this housekeeper for this Polish family. And the patriarch is played by Dolph Sweet. He's, you know, he plays Carl, and he's the chief. You know, he's like the chief of police. And, you know, his wife has recently passed away, like within the last few months. He has three young daughters. Two of them are teenage, and then there's one that's a little younger. The youngest one, Samantha, I always kind of had kind of a crush on at that age, because I don't know. She was closest to my age. I just thought she was adorable. I just always thought that Lara Jill Miller, I think, was the actress's real name, was just adorable. Anyway, so the three girls, like, there's one that's like, you know, the hot, beautiful one, and then there's the brainy one with glasses that's still also hot, but they pretend that she isn't. You know, it's that whole trope. And then the youngest one, Samantha, is so it's like, you know, Katie's the hot one, Julie's the brainy hot one, and then Samantha, or Sam, is the tomboy, who's like, I think she was about like 10 when the show started. So she would have been closest to my age when I was really watching it in syndication. You know, when it first went into reruns and like that. So there's that. And then there's, who else is in that show? Well, later on, there's like, the grandpa comes in, and then, he's like the male Sophia from Golden Girls kind of character, like the male version of that, you know, saying all this like wisecracks that, you know, cute old people are not supposed to say, but it's just like, oh. And So, you know, the first episode of it, the pilot, is basically like, well, Nell's the housekeeper, and she was good friends with the chief's wife who recently passed away, and Nell promised her that she would take care of her family. You know, it was like, I think Margaret had like cancer or something, and so Nell's things you need to know. Nell is black. Nell is overweight, and they're going to remind you of both of those things frequently in the dialogue of the show. And this is what I didn't remember, and it, I guess, you know, from today's standpoint, really kind of hit me, because there are a lot of fat jokes in the script, and it's like, it's you're on Nell's side, you know, watching the show. Like, the idea is like you're on Nell's side, but it's kind of uncomfortable anyway, you know. Anyway, so yeah, we'll get to that. But the first episode, you know, you see the family, and they're, you know, basically you meet each girl one at a time and their interactions with Nell that you're watching. And the chief's having a hard time, and he gets an argument with Katie, the hot chick, and because she's kind of rebelling, and she, you know, he says, your mother would not appreciate you acting that way. And she said, well, my mother can't say anything, she's dead. And the chief slaps her. That's a trope in itself, you know. It's like the teenager says something snarky and slap. Where, and the parent always does it like it's by instinct, and you're like, yeah, I could see, you know. It's like I go both ways with it. I'm like, you know, that's kind of, but yeah, I could understand that reaction at the same time, you know. And so there's a big riff there, and Katie's acting up, and Julie's like smart. Oh, and Julie is like a friend of hers that's a boy, not a boyfriend. A friend of hers that's a boy that is over, and he, you know, they're doing homework together, and it's basically sex ed. And the chief's like, "What are you doing? No reading this?" You know? It's like we got to sign this, you know. It's like, "What's wrong with this school going here?" You know, and you know, and Sam, oh, she had something going on too. I can't remember what it was, but anyway, the end of that first episode, they kind of patch it up, and Nell is instrumental in resolving every family conflict ever. And second episode, the second episode, Nell goes out on the town, right? Like, she goes out on the town. She's like, hang on, I need to get a drink. Nell's hanging out with her friend Angie, and Angie is also black. Angie is tall, skinny, and dumb as a post. They're like diametrical opposites, you know? Diametrical? Is that the right word? They're like direct opposites. Let's just call them direct opposites in every possible way. And you know, it's like Angie's got the whole airhead thing going, and you know, they're playing the you know, the script is playing for the contrast in physical characteristics, you know, also the fact that Nell is much smarter than Angie is. So they go to a bar, and you know, they kind of get hit on a little bit, but Nell gets kind of pushed out, you know, like, doesn't, like, I think Angie gets a date, but Nell doesn't, and aw, you know. And so the thing here now is like that Nell feels like she's going to be alone. So the chief decides he's going to set her up with, you know, set her up on a date. And maybe this was like, who do I know that's black? You know, that's basically that's kind of how it went. Who do I know that's black? So, you know, he sets her up with this other police guy. And the guy comes to the door, you know, comes to the house and stuff. And you know, they seem to be getting along pretty well, Nell and this other guy. And then you get a scene where the guy is talking on the phone to somebody he knows when no one else is in the room, and it's like, well, you got to be nice to the boss, and you know, sometimes you get, you know, so you're like, uh-oh, And so then they're in the room. It's just the guy and like the chief is there, and the guy makes a couple of jokes about Nell's weight. And you know, the weird thing about it is that there's laugh track. The audience, I mean, I don't think it was a live studio audience. Either way, it was a live studio audience, or if it was laugh track, there's laughter. Like, fat joke, laughter. Fat joke, laughter. Fat joke. But the chief is, like, fuming, right? Like, he's getting progressively more pissed hearing the guy talk. And finally, the chief throws the guy out of his house. You know, it's like, you're out of here! You know, and it becomes a touching moment, and you know, Nell hugs him, and he's like, ah, you know, it's like, so, you know, like he defended her, and it, you know, it's a sweet moment, and you know, so it's like this where, like, I like characters, but some of that is really uncomfortable to watch, you know, and I'm like, don't laugh at nothing until you really think it out first. You know, if you're watching with somebody else, it's like, you know, maybe they shouldn't have said that. And so it's like, you know, if they're breaking out the fat jokes in the second episode, like, where is this going? So I might watch some more episodes. It's a lot of fun to describe old sitcom episodes on this show, so I'm definitely going to do more of watching the old sitcoms in general. It's a lot of fun. But my memories of that show gave me a break. It went for 6 seasons. The show went through some changes. Like, I think they had about like maybe 2 years worth of that basic dynamic that I just described. There's also a very dim-witted police officer named Simpson that gradually starts appearing in more episodes. Like, he's briefly in the first episode. He's dumb. He's dumb. But, you know, and like they say, like, the grandpa character comes in sometimes. And I think there was a grandma also, but I think she died or something. And then the chief died, meaning Dolph Sweet, the actor who played the chief, died. So they killed off the character as well, obviously. You know, he was kind enough to die between seasons, so it was easier to deal with that transition. But, like, they come back to from, like, season, say, 3, I think, and it's the whole The Chief is Dead episode, and, you know, I don't remember exactly how everything went, but it gradually, like, the girls were getting older, so, you know, their friendship with Nell was still a very, very much a prominent part of the show, and then at some point, Nell adopted a young white boy named Joey, played by Joey Lawrence, or as you may know him, Woo. Like, that was like his shtick, you know, as he got, when Joey Lawrence got older, and he was on another show called Blossom, and then he, you know, he was a musician, and he was like, Woo. And so, but like, in this, he was like the cute little kid. He's like a cute little, like, 7-year-old kid when he starts on the show or whatever. And I think later on, Joey Lawrence's little brother also joined the cast. Well, I don't know if Nell adopted him too or what, but, you know, he also joined it. And then the Angie character, I don't think she showed up very much. I remember her. I know she was in some episodes. I remember a line. It wasn't in the episodes I watched the other night, but I remember a line that, where I think Nell says that Angie has to look down her top to count to 2. You know, just like, look down her own top to count to 2 or something like that. She didn't last very long, and then Nell got a new best friend named Addie, I think. And that was Thelma Hopkins, who later was on Family Matters. And, you know, their friendship became a very big part of the show. And at some point, I don't know, I think maybe Nell, it was just like Nell living with the girls or something. And then the final season, there was a whole upheaval, and it was like Nell moves away with like two of the girls to a whole nother state, and the grandpa's there for whatever reason. He's still in the show, and then like Rosie O'Donnell's in the cast. It's like as like some other character, and very weird, you know. So like it was one of those shows where they kept messing with the formula. I mean, obviously, with the chief dead, they had to, you know, that changed the dynamic some, because he was a major character early on, and but like, you know, I mean, it's one of those shows that definitely evolved into something different, and I might just for gits and shiggles, I might just. Maybe tonight when I get home, I'll pop on like one of the last season episodes just to, because it was a huge guy. And I remember the theme song was like Nell sang it. It's like, give me a break, I sure deserve it. It's time to bring it to the top. Something like that. Get behind me, pull out every star. I wanna have a ending. I'm tired of pretending. Don't let it make the best of me. Whoa, whoa, whoa. Give me a break. And then that was like the first couple seasons, and then like they changed the theme song and they kind of made it a little more like disco early 80s kind of a theme song closer to the end of the series, and they changed some of the lyrics and stuff. But anyway, that's my memories of Give Me a Break. And I feel like I'm forgetting some things, but that was the memories that came to mind as I watched those two episodes the other night, and you know, so. But it was one of the, and I do remember there was an episode where Sam, she was like 12 or something, and she had heard her dad say that, you know, if you kiss that boy, you're going to get pregnant, and then she took it literally and thought that it was like literally like if she kissed a boy, that would be the thing that made her pregnant. And she's like, no, we did it. Me and Billy did it. we're like, we did sex. And Nell's like, what did you do? So I remember that. Like firsthand, I remember that whole thing. So, all right, I'm at my mom's house. So I'll probably talk a little bit more, maybe like on the drive back.
Can I quit mine then?
No.
What's the fun in that?
No. I was just saying there might be some other department in. Remember, I used to go with the job and like try to push you to find something. You know.
There's really not much open right now.
We get home, will you take a picture of my back?
Yes.
I feel some lumps back there, but I think it's from when like I scratched myself with a steak knife.
Oh, okay. Okay.
It could come my back scratcher. Maybe like lotion, it could feel dry. That'll probably help itching. Ice skating, because it was nothing that anyone in the family ever did before.
to basketball games and softball games and plays and band recitals and orchestra. But
yeah.
Up here seems like cool.
Yeah, it's new ground.
Yeah.
I got a whole feel on that one.
It's always up for something new, you know? My Machu Picchu in his 70s. I think he'd be proud of me for sitting down.
Yep, definitely.
Oh, she's just great and glad. I did tell her ahead of time, like, this is about 2 weeks ago. I'm like, I'm looking for any way out. So, because she said there was no mandate, what they do, you know, tell them, like, what you can do is not express any worry toward me about my pension, about plans, what's that I need out.
Mr. Lawrence, welcome to our company.
Best trick of the victory march!
I'll find a way to fix those keys.
You must let me play Valentino. I finally got this beer to stick.
The damsel!
Oh my god!
Hey! My god!
My god!
Ladies! A gentleman's come calling.
Grandfather, Brooks tells me you've been neglecting your studies, Theodore. You have a part to play, sir, and not amongst the women.
Grandfather.
We're too old for these games. Come.
No! Joe, you can't keep him locked away like an ogre. He's a growing bully. He needs company and amusement and sunlight in which to bloom.
My God, Joe, what are you saying?
He is not some damsel in distress, madam. He does not need your rescue.
He's a gentleman in distress, and without him, our play is a disaster. Please. Christopher Columbus!
Joe, you should have been hit here.
I can't abide seeing a body stuck in the wrong role.
I don't know, Miss Meg. It may be good to make friends with that boy. He may take a shine to you.
Hannah! This is all Abominable Brooke's fault for tattling.
He isn't abominable.
What? You're abominable!
What?
Actresses.
Okay, it's a little while later, it's about 10 p.m., just dropped off Mom back at her house, and I'm gonna head back home. I'll just talk on here for a little bit, and then I'll wrap up the show. Wrap up the shoe. A really big shoe. My really big shoes that I'm wearing on my feet. Wait, what? I don't know. I just don't know. I don't know. It was a fun evening. We had fun watching the play. It was a different adaptation of Little Women than what I've seen before. There's just like some differences to it, but I've never read the novel or anything, so I don't really know what all that's like. I don't know exactly what the book's like, but yeah, Jackie was in the ensemble, so basically she was in the, there was a square dancing scene that she was in, and then there's also a scene where she was a messenger. She came in briefly and brought in a telegram, so you know, there was just just basically just two or three scenes that she was in, but she did well. And just sometimes it's kind of hard to. She's grown up, and her stage presence. She almost seems like a different person up there, which it's, I guess that's what it should be. You know, she should. She is playing a different person, but you know, just a different person. But yeah, she did a really good job. It was a good show. They had some microphone trouble, which I noticed that more now, having run sound for two shows and getting ready to start on a third. I really notice that stuff when I go to a play. I really notice. And most of it was just like they were wearing body mics. They were wearing mics like taped to like their face, and you know, where the mic is like really close to their mouth. And what I've done before, and what the, you know, my local community theater does, and how they taught me, most of the people will either like wear the mic toward like the back of their neck, or tape it onto the forehead and just project the voice a little more, and that works pretty well. Like this was, you know, you get more static from having the mic right next to your mouth, and you know, if there's any shuffling around at all, it can be very apparent, and you know, so. But I mean, it wasn't too distracting, just in a few spots in the play, you know. So it's. You know, it's fine. And that's how you learn how this stuff works. Yeah. So, enjoyed it. It was good. And then tomorrow night we'll go back and my wife and I will be running the dessert table, which will be real easy. Because the desserts are actually free. Basically all we're doing is like charging like a buck for a can of soda. And you know, I guess just restocking whenever the table starts to get empty. It's, yeah, it'll be real easy. And so, you know, during, like, before the show and, you know, at intermission, basically. So, it'll be real easy. Really easy. So, anyway, sleepy. Soda's still good and cold. Ice is still icy. And, yeah, it's getting colder now. It's like 30 degrees. Yesterday, we hit a high of like 70 degrees. You know, people are out wearing shorts and stuff. And right now, 10 p.m., it's like 30 degrees. So we're getting into, we're rapidly getting into winter time. And that's just how it is. That's just the way it is, you know, the way it is. I need to remember that I have not been home since this morning, because I went straight from work and didn't go home first. So I've got some stuff here in the van that I need to take in. I've got my journal and my book that I'm reading and my headphones that I need to use at home tonight. When I get home, I already wrote in my journal today. I wrote a couple pages. That's good enough. I don't need to write again tonight. I've got a rule for myself to write at least one page a day, and usually I surpass that by a few pages. And I've done that since March 28th was the first day that, well, and like from then on, every single day I've written at least a page in my journal. Some days I got close to like 10 pages, like 8 or 9, you know. But I'll get home and I will upload this episode now that I remember how. And I also need to upload the Bumper Chain Cosmic episode. If that's going to be a Friday's thing, then well, Friday will be over in a couple hours. Oh, there is a bit of a bit of leeway in there, a bit of a grace period, because I go by the time that the website says, And I think for my time zone, you know, my central time zone, I think up to like 2 a.m. My time zone, and it'll still show as like today. It'll still, like, this is right now, it's Friday, but up to like 2 a.m. on Saturday, it would still show Friday. So I just count it as whatever day the website says it is when I post it. And it's weird that I know that, because that tells you how often I've released shows late at night. You know, I just try to be consistent with whatever the website says on it. So I'm weird like that. You know, I know that Frank and I think other people on the on SUG have done too, that they'll you know, they'll post it by like if Frank posts a tape light episode, he'll put the date that it, you know, of when it was recorded usually. I'll always put the release date. I don't know why. I don't know if it even matters. It probably doesn't, but I'll always put the release date. Even if I'm releasing like an old field recording by itself, you know, like if it was from like February of 1991, I'll still put in parentheses the date that I released it instead of the date that it was recorded. And it's just, it's whatever. Like I said, I don't think it matters. Frank has never said anything, so he's been really great with you know, the whole hosting aspect, and you know, allowing a lot of different kinds of stuff. You know, if I've ever posted something that he did that he objected to, he didn't object enough for me to know it. So I think, you know, I think it's a good arrangement. So he's got a good arrangement with us. This whole Overnightscape underground shindig. I really should submit to Overnightscape Central again. It's been a long time since I've done that. I want to say the last time I was on Central was sometime in 2020, like during the height of the pandemic, I think was when the last time I was on that show. I don't think I was on that show at all in 2021. I know I haven't been in 22, but I need to just do that. But it's just a matter of sometimes a topic will come up that I don't really feel like I have much to say about that topic. But, you know, PQ River, who has also been really great at hosting this stuff and, you know, making, you know, like, he'll make you really feel welcome and stuff. And he's a very welcoming guy, very accommodating and stuff. And they're both great. Anyway, hang on, I'm getting onto the highway here, and that was just kind of distracting me a little bit. Oh my god. What was I saying? I was saying something good about PQ. I was being complimentary about PQ River. What was I saying? Oh yeah, well, I don't think PQ would mind. Like, you could probably submit something that had nothing to do with the actual topic and just, you know, talk about something and make it interesting, and he probably wouldn't mind at all. You know, and I think people have done that before, and of shows I've heard, you know, that where they say, well, I don't really have anything to talk to you about World War II, but hey, what about Silly Putty? You know, let's talk about Silly Putty for a minute. And PQ would probably find a way to make those two topics, you know, relate to one another when he comes back. Like, you know, it'd be like, back to you, PQ. And it'd be like, and all right, yeah. And they used Silly Putty a lot back during World War II. It would be like that, you know? So, great guy. Frank, Edward, Nora, PQ, River, both great guys. So, anyway, but yeah, I should submit to Central. I've also thought about getting back into the exit ramp thing again. I guess it's just not really my thing so much. You know, I feel like high pressure to come up with something interesting to say. I've only been on one episode of that, and only briefly. It just feels strange to me. I don't know why. Maybe I'm just used to doing these recordings. I love listening to them. I love listening to the exit ramp. I'm just bad about that. So I don't know. I feel weird. Like, I don't know even exactly how to explain it, you know, but, maybe it's because I'm an introvert. Like, I feel like I have control right now when I'm recording and talking and stuff. Like, I have control of what I'm saying, how I'm saying it, how long I talk about it. When you involve other people, it becomes like, what do they want to talk about? I don't know. Maybe I'm not talking about what they want to talk about. Or I'll say something and be like, I hope I'm not wrong on my facts. You know? I don't want to be wrong on my information that I'm saying, and I, you know, if I got called out on it, I'd be like, well, I try. I just want to play the game, you know. I just want to play the game with you guys, just chat, not worry about it. Just let me say whatever bullshit I want, and pretend it's true, and I'll do the same for you. Alright, anyway, no, I think I'm just tired now. I think it's just hitting me. I think it just now is just hitting me, and I don't know what in the hell is going on. Because you gotta remember that I was up until after 1 a.m., and then I got only like maybe 5 hours sleep, and I've been up ever since then, and it's been. It just feels like it's been a very long day. Like a very long day. Like a very, very, very long time. I don't know. I'm starting to lose it now. So I probably better go ahead and wrap this up, you guys. I think I will. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you so much for listening. Without you, my kids don't eat. I had a teacher when I first started college at ISU, Illinois State University, I was supposed to take a couple business courses, so I took like a business history course, and the first, it was like one night a week course, like Thursday night for like 3 hours or whatever, and the end of the lecture, the professor said, I just want to say thank you for coming to class. Without you, my kids don't eat. And that always stuck with me for some weird reason, to the point that I just said it just now, 30 years later. It's been 30 years since I took, no it hasn't, it's only been 28 years, never mind, no, it's no big deal. We'll talk about it again in 2 years. In 2024, I'll be like, my God, you guys, can you believe it's been 30 years is what I'll say. Can't say that yet, though. Yeah, because I started at ISU in 94. I went to Lincoln College for 2 years. That just recently closed, by the way. My, the college where I went and majored in fine arts, you know, with a theater focus, and I did a few plays there. That was a really nice little theater. And then, you know, in that particular college. But yeah, the college ran severely low on funding during the pandemic, and they ended up having to close last spring. And it was very sad. That was very sad to me. But they had a good run. The college had a really good run. I think it was open. God, I can't remember when it opened now. It was open over 100 years, I think. I'd have to look to see for sure, because I really don't remember when it was established. So, and I've got recordings from that college, too, when I went there. If you find an episode of this show, Radio Free Shambles, called College Cassette... You know what? You know what I'm going to do, kids? I'm going to add College Cassette to the end of the Bumper Chain Cosmic episode that I'm getting ready to release. Just for you. Since we're talking about it and all, and since you've been such a wonderful audience, I think I'm just going to tack that at the end of the episode. Maybe put a song after it and then call it done. I don't know. But, yeah, College Cassette is a field recording from April of 1994. And I released it as a Radio Free Shambles episode a couple years ago. During the pandemic, in fact. That's when I released it. And the name that I put on the label of the cassette back then, I just put Archives. It was like Archives Part 1 and Archives Part 2 or something like that. And one of those cassettes is now missing, is gone. I can't find it. I haven't been able to find it for a long time, and I just have to assume that it's completely lost by now. But the other one is intact. And I did cut some things from what I released, and I'll just release the same thing on the end of that Bumper Chain Cosmic. It's about 50, 51 minutes long, somewhere in there. I'll just tack it to the end. And that'll be all lovely times. Yay! Yay. Okay, I'm really gonna go now. I'm heading out the door. I'm going. You're never gonna see me again. You'll never call me. You did not call me. Never, never, no. Just kidding. I'll be back next time. Which will probably be soon. Thank you for listening. Goodbye.
Bye.